Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You're looking at Pedro Strop as the problem. The Cubs are addressing that problem. They have addressed that problem by bringing in Craig Kimbrell and then putting Strope in a position that is more fundamentally a fit. I don't want you to look at this one game sample when I'm giving you a 25 game sample of what the bigger problem with the Cubs is right now, and that's that they're not hitting. That's the bigger issue. You can be mad at the one game sample of Pedro Strope, but I think that it's a bad place to put your anger about last night's game.
Make me a bicycle clown.
And poof, look at that. Cubs offense lives. It popped back up. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a very, very busy and entertaining show for you today. I ran across something last night on my drive home from Wrigley Field that I am almost certain that you are going to enjoy, because it left me laughing for 4 minutes in the car and had Panther looking at me like, what is wrong with you? That will be later on in the show, but I promise you it's going to be great. Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now, nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street out in Oak Lawn. As I was telling Dan and Connor, Matt Forte is scheduled to join us at 12:30 today, around 12:30, maybe a little bit earlier than 12:30. Also, 1 o'clock today, the NBA draft is tonight. Me and the crew are going to talk about the Bulls. I got one of the guys who's going to be part of our show, and Tony Gill and Rick Damkamp, who knows his buckets like nobody else. So I'm going to talk with those guys. And then I'm going to do another segment with Cody Westerlund and break down the draft as someone who reports on the Bulls every day. So we have got you covered. And Bears training camp schedule is out. I'm going to discuss all of that stuff. But we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
This is your rundown for Thursday, June 20th, 2019. How about we just go right to what happened last night over on the north side, Cubs versus White Sox. It's almost a reverse where you have Kyle Schwarber ambushing and getting a home run, and then Leor Garcia decided that he was going to do some of that too.
One game short of 500 after a wonderful game of baseball in the city of Chicago last night. What's next? It's Leor Garcia greeting Lester with a long fly ball left. That is a great start here at Wrigley for the Sox.
It was a great start, and Leor Garcia is a player that I haven't liked because I felt like he hasn't always given 100%. He's been a lot better this year, and things started off fantastically for the White Sox, but that fantastic feeling didn't last. And you're sitting there thinking, they gave Lucas Giolito a one-run lead? You good to go. Well, then the bottom of the first inning happened, and Lucas was struggling finding his command, and Wilson Contreras made him pay for it.
A swing and a drive to left field and deep. Back to the wall. That ball is gone. A grand slam. A grand slam for Wilson Contreras. A hanging breaking ball. And Contreras hits a granny.
He did hit a granny. Wilson Contreras.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's fine. She's totally fine. It was an accident, and I think she's going to be okay.
Told him about getting those nets, man.
Well, this one went over the wall, so I don't know if a net would even be in play in this regard. And Wilson hit that ball, actually hit into the basket, right? So no one even got hurt. That was completely wrong by Pat. How dare he How dare he impugn Wilson Contreras like that? Wilson Contreras was out here with both L's yesterday, because if the Grand Slam wasn't enough and it put the Cubs in a good position early on, he's like, I like what I'm seeing from Lucas Giolito.
Swinging a drive to left. He may have done it again. Home run. Wilson Contreras with a line drive home run to straightaway left. And the Cubs lead 5-1. Another ball that left the park in a hurry.
It did. I believe the exit velocity was like 112 on that one for Wilson Contreras. Here's the thing. The game was not out of reach. The White Sox started to push back a little bit, and it seemed as if they maybe had a chance at a rally when Tim Anderson hits a double. He's on second base with nobody out, and the big boys in the lineup coming up. And you're like, man, the White Sox may rally and make this a game. Tim ran him out of the inning.
Here comes the 1-1 delivery outside. Anderson trying to steal, throw to third, got him. Anderson is retired. A bullet from Contreras to Bryant to cut down Anderson trying to steal third.
Yeah, man, it was not great, because that's a situation where you don't want to make that out at third base, even though it's John Lester and you're playing cat and mouse with him at second, and you're also running in quicksand because it was raining the entire time that game was going on.
It's like, dude, you're already in scoring position.
Yeah, exactly, Tony. You're already in scoring position with the leading RBI guy in the American League up to bat. It really made no sense at all.
Trust your guys.
I know that you want to be the spark plug. I get that. But trust your guys, because they were, that portion of the lineup actually did okay last night. Let's hear from Joe Maddon, who talked a little bit about the importance of getting to Giolito early on.
Giolito has really reinvented himself. The arm stroke, the stuff that he's got, it's a different commodity than I saw last time. There's no question. So you need to throw that shot early, which we did, which was great.
Yeah, they did, and Wilson Contreras was the key behind that. It was a reawakening for Lucas Giolito, who said that he hasn't struggled like that in a minute.
Yeah, I got hit hard. I mean, that's the hardest I've been hit in a long time. Just hanging some sliders, changeup, like I just said, was probably the worst it's been this year. It is what it is. You're not going to go out there and have a great outing every single time. I would have liked to control the damage better than I did tonight, but you know, I got another one 5 days.
Yeah, that's the way. Look, those things are going to happen. If he's been pitching great, and I don't think that this takes him out of the running to be the starter for the American League in the All-Star game, but they got him. The Cubs went out there and got him. They were all sorts of ready for Wilson Contreras. The other thing inside the rundown today is that the NBA draft is tonight, and it's been interesting to see all the movement, especially some of the point guard movement that has gone on around the NBA. And with the Bulls looking at the number 7 pick, I am curious to see what they're going to do with it. If they feel like they can get a point guard at 7, or if they feel like they need to move up, and what assets are they willing to give away to move up a couple spots to ensure that they get a point guard, if in fact that is something that they are eyeing in the draft, unless they think that they can maybe find a point guard that is able to have the offense take the next step in free agency. Maybe. We shall see. So that is your rundown for Thursday, June 20th of 2019. I'm Lawrence, by the way. This is my show. Tony, Campy, you'll hear their voices throughout the show today. As a matter of fact, at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be talking exclusively with those guys about the NBA, because they know their round ball. There was a couple of other baseball things that I wanted to go back to for a second, because if you heard in the intro to the show, our previously, we were talking a little bit about the offense of the Cubs, and how the offense of the Cubs struggled. And there were people who were upset yesterday that Wilson Contreras wasn't in the lineup, that he should have been in the lineup because he's one of your better hitters. and Joe was trying to kind of, you know, do a lefty lineup thing and all of that good stuff against Nova. But I think that it goes deeper than that, in that you're also trying to, after a West Coast trip, you want to try and get those legs, get him off his feet as much as you can. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about this, because Theo Epstein was on The Score earlier today, and I thought that he actually summed up really well the importance of Contreras and why Joe needs to figure out ways to get him off of his feet, which means sometimes he's not going to be in the lineup.
You have to look at the big picture, and getting Wilson enough rest is never fun in the moment, but I think it's something that should pay dividends towards the end of the year. And you know, he probably played too much last year, and making an effort to cut that back, especially when you've got a guy like Caratini swinging the bat well from the left side, and against Nova, who usually struggles against lefties, and Vic's done a great job working with Cole as well. So it was a decent matchup for him. Obviously, you know, anytime you don't have Wilson's bat in the lineup, it hurts, but that's just one of those where you got to look at the big picture. And you know, not usually one player, you know, anytime you lose, you could say one player would have made a difference, but you just got to look at the big picture. And team-wide, we didn't have a great approach against Nova and paid the price the other day.
So there it is, that you have to give him. He's a guy that catches a lot. He expends a lot of energy when he's behind the plate, and his offense is so important that you want to make sure that he is going to be available for you as much as possible. And I think down the stretch, that is something that they want to make sure that they do. I'm with them on this one. If this were a playoff series, you wouldn't see it done. If it was a game that you absolutely had to have, and I know we can have the conversation about how they should have had more urgency earlier in the season, but I do think that there's a balancing act that has to go on, and this is part of the balancing act. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, there's another baseball thing that I want to get to before we talk with Matt Forte, and it has to do with the way that the Cubs are going to put together their start tonight. The start tonight is going to be a little bit old school, piggyback style. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, like I told you guys in spring, I feel back. You know, everybody has a bad year. Mine just happened to be my first year with this team. But I feel good, so I feel ready, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
That was Cubs starter for tonight, Tyler Chatwood, talking about the opportunity that's in front of him to start tonight against the Mets. Chatwood so far this year has been a .8 baseball reference, B-War player. 3.60 ERA in his 35 innings pitched. He has not been as plagued by walks so far this year as he was last year. It's actually pretty decent, where last year he finished the season with 95 walks and 85 strikeouts. He's ahead of the game this year with 29 strikeouts and 21 walks. When I talked with Joe Maddon earlier this week, he said, look, it's not a done deal that Chatwood is just going to stay in the bullpen, and that it was going to be Adbert Alzolay that takes the start. And that kind of piqued my interest, because I thought it was pretty much they were going to bring up Alzolay, he would start, and that would be the end of it. But that is not what their plan is going to be. As it stands right now, it looks like they're going to use both guys. It'll be Chatwood to start, and then Alzolay to be the piggyback. So you know how sometimes in Lester starts or Darvish starts, and Darvish more usually, like, wait, you'd send Darvish out there, he'd give you 4 1/3, and then Chatwood would come in and pitch 2 2/3 or whatever. I think that's what they're going to try and do. Theo was on earlier today, and he talked about splitting up the time between the two players.
Passing him up when the opportunity arises is, you know, not the most fair thing in the world. And that said, Adbert is somebody we think is ready to and profiles best long term as a starting pitcher. But the way the schedule fell, we all put our heads together and we saw a solution that we think works well for all parties and especially for the team. You know, Tyler is not really that stretched out, so it's not fair of us to expect him to go really deep in the game. And Adbert also is somebody he hasn't got up past, I think, 87 pitches this year as he works his way back from the injury he suffered in spring training. So splitting this game seemed like a really good solution, especially coming off the off day Monday. We didn't want to slot both guys in the rotation, and all of a sudden you're given starting pitchers the two extra days, which they feel gets them out of the rhythm as opposed to just one extra day. So this gives us a lot of optionality going forward. Hopefully, most importantly, hopefully it helps us win the ball game today. Hopefully both guys pitch well and give the bullpen a little bit of a breather. And then we have the opportunity next time through, since we're in the stretch, we're starting a stretch now of 17 games in a row without an off day, where there's always the possibility that both guys see starts the next time through, or maybe a couple times through, which would give our veteran starting pitchers an extra day's rest. And we've really leaned on those guys. They've gone every fifth day for a while now, up until this past off day. Like I said, another stretch of 17 in a row. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways we could go from here, but certainly the possibility of both guys making starts could serve everyone's interest.
So Chatwood, and that was Theo on with Mully and Haw earlier today. Chatwood hasn't pitched since the 11th, so 9 days for him from his last outing. And in that outing, he threw 53 pitches against the Rockies, so 2 2/3. The most pitches he's thrown so far this year was the sixth inning that he went in the game against Arizona, where he threw 71 pitches. So then there's a 71, a 68, and a 62 in there. But most of his outings have been in the high 20s, low 30s range. So that's what Theo's talking about when he's saying, look, the guy is not properly stretched out to just say we're going to put him in the rotation. But we are seeing a better version of Tyler Chatwood. And he was better in May than he was in the three outings in June. I'm excited for him. I'm really excited for him to get an opportunity, because he said he wanted to continue to be a starter. You're like, well, wait, what about Adbert Alzolay? What do I need to know about him? We got you covered there, too. This is what Joe Madden told me about him a couple days ago.
He's doing really well. He's got a plus-plus fastball with an outstanding curveball. Good command, really good command for a young man. Very confident. And I'm just going off video. I've never seen the guy throw in person. Every spring training he's been unable to pitch, and I've not been able to see it. I've just heard about it. So I was watching video recently, and it's all there. It's really pretty spectacular. But beyond that, and I think I've talked to you guys about this before, if you had a chance to sit down and visit with him like I have, just conversationally in spring training, wow, really mature for his age, speaks well, really expresses himself well. I get a total team guy. Calm demeanor, which I liked also. So all the ingredients plus a great arm, it's all there. It's a pretty complete package.
So there's what you need to know about the two guys that are probably going to be involved in the game tonight as they take on the Mets over on the north side. It'll be all right. I should have called Wayne Randazzo while he was in town. This segment is being brought to you by The Art of Pizza. The Art of Pizza is celebrating 30 years in Lakeview. The Art of Pizza, located at 3033 North Ashland, stop in for up to 18 varieties of hot, fresh stuff, pan and thin crust slices. Delivery begins 11 a.m. every day. Call 773-327-5600 or visit artofpizzachicago.com. And I always like to throw this tip in, where if you go to Art of Pizza, yes, the pizza is tremendous. I highly recommend the pizza. I will tell you that they have a chocolate fudge cake, which is fantastic. So just keep that in mind if you are going to Art of Pizza, that you should get the chocolate fudge cake. Just keep it in mind. All right. So we're hoping to have a conversation with Matt Forte. We also have more baseball stuff that we want to do as well on the show, because I ran across something that was pretty excellent last night that I wanted to share with you before the show is done. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a little bit of a roundtable with the show. Tony Campy and I are going to talk Bulls with you, and we're going to break down the draft as we see it. And then Cody Westerlund is going to join me, and we're going to discuss it from his point of view as well. So make sure that you're around for that, because I think it'll be quality stuff, and we're looking forward to bringing that to you. We love to talk Bulls as a team on this show, and our Bulls draft coverage tonight is going to be top-notch. check out what we're going to do. We've got the Cubs game, so know that, okay? Our coverage of the draft is going to be on 670thescore.com via the radio.com app. So if you're listening to me streaming the show right now, this is exactly where you're going to be able to listen to our draft coverage. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Winnington, Steve Cashel, Cody Westerlund, David Schuster, and Tony Gill live from 6 until 10. Then once the Cubs game is over on the Score, we're going to put the draft coverage on the Score, all right? So we'll have it all for you right here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. I'm excited to bring our next guest onto the show. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. One of my partners on the football after show and one of the Bears greats, Matt Forte, now joining me here on The Score. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Holmes?
I'm chilling, man. I'm really chilling. All right, I got a lot of questions for you. I'm glad that we're going to get a chance to chat. How was the Bears 100?
Oh, it was awesome, man. Just to be around and actually be around all the former teammates and the legends, too, as well, was awesome to see. But also the fans was the best part. I mean, they were lined up around the building. In the autograph line, I was asking some of the people, I was like, what time did you wake up? And some of these kids were like 4:30 in the morning to get there. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's actual fandom, like real right there. So, you know, we appreciate everybody coming out, but it was a great time.
Was there anyone that even you got starstruck by?
Yeah, so I saw Dick Butkus. So I've seen all of the 85 Bears and met those guys and been in the presence of Gale Sayers and people and Mike Dick and guys like that. But I had never seen Dick Butkus before. So I saw him and I said, hey, Mr. Butkus. And he said, well, hey, how you doing, Matt? And I was like, oh, my God, he knows my name.
That's crazy. That's cool that he knew your name.
Yes, I was surprised. I was like, you know, maybe he doesn't really pay attention to the Bears anymore, or maybe, you know, maybe I just wasn't, you know, not a Urlacher level type of guy, but he actually knew my name, so I was like starstruck at that.
Well, I mean, you're pretty high on the list of the Bears 100, Matt. It's not like you're Alex, who's really mad that he is not on the list. Like he's big mad not on the list. Have you talked to him about it? Mad.
Huh?
Have you talked to him about it?
No, I did talk to Double A because, you know, he had me cracking up laughing. He was 101, so I'm guessing Alex is like 102 behind. He has to be behind Spice, so there's no way he was making the top cracking the 100.
I had Alex on the show, and he made a really good case for himself being on the list.
Of course.
I just know that during the season that's going to be a thing. I just know that is going to be a problem for all of us. So you're on the list at number 34. What did it mean to you to be on the list at number 34?
Yeah, I mean, it's significant. Obviously, I like that because Walter Payton wore 34 and to follow in his footsteps and everything. But to, you know, be, you know, at least in the top 50 of the all-time in 100 years of the Bears franchise is amazing. So it just feels good that, the hard work you put in to, you know, get recognized for it and see that it paid off. And, you know, and to actually have played with a lot of guys that were even, you know, top 10 as well. So, you know, it paved the way for me, but also to play against and play with the guys that are, you know, Hall of Fame level, you know, kind of it helped me shape my career as well.
I'm spending a few minutes talking with Bears great Matt Forte here on The Score. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MattForte22. You should also follow Matt on Instagram because he's doing some really cool stuff. I want to talk to you about that too, Matt. You're not just talking the talk, man. You're out here walking the walk and I guess riding the ride. You've done the ride-alongs with the Chicago Police. You're out there on the West Side, you know, trying to help through ministry with some of the situations of violence in our city. You're in India doing all sorts of stuff. I'm curious, what is it? Why do you feel like you can use your platform this way? What compels you to do that?
I just want to be unique, be different. You know, I've grown up knowing that when you have a platform, you have to use it for something. And so I want to use it for positivity. It's easy to have a platform and be a celebrity or famous and then not use that platform to build up other communities or build up other people and things like that, or actually spread negative things. Because it's easier to fall into that, especially when you're a lot of young, influential children or kids that look up to sports figures or even entertainers. So I want to use that platform to show them that it's okay to be different than and not do what everybody else is doing. It's okay to go and spread positivity and help other people, and to make it cool to not be so selfish. We're all born selfish because we have to be taken care of. We have to be cared for, and then that continues to linger on. But to learn to be selfless, which means like caring for other people and providing a need for that person, is I think that's a fact in life that needs to be stressed more. And what good is it if you know I'm walking down the street and there's somebody who needs some food or needs some clothes, and I can provide that for them, and I say, you know, I'm pray for you, or I hope you get warm, I hope you what, like, that doesn't do them any good. So actually acting on it and doing these things is what it's all about.
What do you think you've learned about yourself in the process?
Just that, you know, how big the world is, man. Like, going to India really changed my perspective, too, on things over here in America, because how fortunate we are. You know, you can go up the street to Walgreens and grab whatever you need, you know, go to the grocery store. You know, it's not like that everywhere. And in other places, you know, it's tough. And there's people being, you know, persecuted just for their beliefs and all kind of things. So, you know, here we have a lot of freedoms, which I'm appreciative of and thank God for. And it's not like that everywhere. So it's really revealed to me that, man, the earth is just, the world is so big, and there's a lot of people that need things. And, you know, if I don't reach out and use my platform and try to help them, then who else? You know, who, if not us, and if not now, then when and then who, you know?
I've learned in the year, like, working with you, that accountability is a big deal for you. And whether it's on the field or off the field. And I think in now that you're retired and you're out here in the community, how do you like to express or explain to people the idea of being accountable?
Yeah, it's a major issue, because a lot of people don't like to take responsibilities for their actions, or they make excuses and a lot of stuff. And football has really taught me the most about accountability, because you have to be accountable for your actions and what you do and how you prepare for the game as well, or you're going to let not only yourself but your teammates down, the organization down, and the fans eventually down. So you have to be accountable in what you do. So I'm all about, you know, stressing to a lot of young men and young guys that are influenced by sports and athletics and stuff about being a real man, because, you know, being a real man is not being passive and just letting things slide, but being accountable for what you do and what others do, and holding other people accountable to a certain standard. So, you know, you got to accept responsibilities as well. You know, you're not going to make excuses for everything. But then the main part is just acting on it. You know, there's a lot of people that just love to talk all day long about, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and or even complain about it. Like, if the world was this way and if we didn't do this, the world is so bad. Well, then get out there and start complaining about it and go act on it. And so that's what my mission is, to go and act on it and actually bring these things to light that need to be fixed. And then let's start working towards fixing them.
All right, some more football questions for you before I let you go. And this is great stuff from Matt Forte here on The Score. Josh McCown just retired. I was checking out your Instagram, and you had a really tremendous kind of tribute to him, because you've been teammates with him in two different places. Everyone that I've ever talked to about Josh talks about how great a teammate he was. What made him a great teammate?
He was the best. Just like what we were just talking about, holding people accountable. But him himself, he held himself accountable in everything he did, prepared for everything. You know, like that one year, I don't know if it was 2012 or 13, when you know, Jay got injured and he had to step in. He was prepared. He, you know, fit right in. And we kept rolling, and that's the type of guy he was. He was always ready. You know, a lot of times he didn't really get a lot of chances until later on in his career, too. And that shows his faithfulness to continue to work hard and stay there and not take the role of a backup, being, you know, saying, like, oh, I'm just a backup. You know, he prepared as if he was a starter every day. And he worked with other guys that way, too, on and off the field. And, I mean, Josh was just so influential in the locker room. And like we talk about being a real man, he's a real man. Great husband, great father, great teammate. And, I mean, he would do all kinds of things. There's one time I remember that it really impacted me was how giving he was. It's this conference that the NFL does for NFL players, and you got to pay to go to it. But he sponsored basically anybody on the team that wanted to go, and about 15 to 20 guys went. So it was, you know, thousands of dollars, but he was like, it's good. It's good for them to go to it, so I'll pay for them to go. So that impacted me to see how giving he is.
How important are teammates like that in the NFL locker room?
Super important. Super important, man, because it shows it helps them to see and develop their own character. There's a lot of guys that need guidance. That come into the league young. A lot of guys that may not have fathers or grew up without fathers or grew up in a different household, and they need that type of guidance. And they look for, they may not say nothing all the time, but they look for that in other guys, especially in their peers, and especially in the veterans in the locker room. So a guy like him is like, you want, if you trying to start a team and you're looking at character, you want a guy like him on your team to start out with.
All right, I got to ask you this, and I know that we've joked about it on the show. What type of damage would you do in this Matt Nagy offense?
Oh, man. I was, you know, on the show, I was just excited to see how they were using Tariq and how they would run the ball as well. But their passing game just looks so fun to me. You know, you being able to line up in a slot, to motion out, to do different type of motions and reverse it, like all kind of, you know, trick plays and different stuff. His creativity in the playbook is some of the best I've seen since, like, you know, a guy like Mike Martz and what they used to do. He actually is a little more creative than Mike is, and gave you a little, he looks like he gives you a little more leeway to do things. But it looks like it'd just be really fun and to be in that offense. And we all know that at running back, things don't work without the offensive line. So that O-line they got, too, is pretty good. So I could see myself doing some damage if I could rewind time and fix these knees up and get back out there.
I mean, you did do, like, 15,000 total yards in the league, so it's not like you didn't do damage. But I just feel like every time they're talking about the running back that they need to have this offense work, I'm like, oh, they're describing Matt Forte. That's who they're describing, because you need someone who's going to be able to catch the ball, that knows how to run a route tree and all that good stuff, along with be able to size a guy up in the hole and knock him down. I just go, man, this could be – you were born 10 years too late, Matt. That's what it was.
Yeah.
10 years too early.
Yeah, man. You talk about last year's run, too, with that defense. And, you know, when I first came in, like, the Bears and our defense was like that with Urlacher, Briggs, and I will say Alex Brown, he was there too. But, you know, guys like Mike Brown and Peanut and all those guys, man, like their defense is, you know, we really, as an offense, only had to score, like, you know, 17 points, 13 points to win a game because the defense was so good. But this offense, I'm excited for them this year because the defense is coming back, you know, with some new added parts. But that offense is going to be in the second year of it. So I'm excited to see their growth from the first year.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you jumping on, man. Keep doing all this great stuff that you're out here in the world doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, I got a flywheel spin class going on for my charity, too, on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
June 22nd.
All right, so where is it?
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. Where is it? Where can people sign up?
Oh, yeah. It's at the flywheel in Old Town. Is 1653 North Wells Street in Old Town.
So you're gonna be out here spinning?
Yeah, I'm gonna do the spin. You know, since I retired, I don't run no more. So I'm on the spin bike, getting my cardio in and working the legs out. So I've been doing a lot of that. So it's gonna be a good little workout for us. They got all kind of auction items and autograph things and stuff, but also you get to ride and compete against me in the class as well and get a good workout. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
All right. So this is a 45-minute cardio ride, and it's benefiting the What's Your Forte Foundation. So Saturday, 2 to 4, at Flywheel Sports Old Town, 1653 North Wells, you can try and ride with this guy right here. Good luck with all of that. Matt, thank you, man. You're the best.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That's Matt Forte, former Bear. I forgot all about his ride. That was the whole reason that we were bringing on. And we got talking about good stuff, and boom, there you go. But if you want to get, I'm going to tweet this out so that you can see it. If you want to go and ride along with Matt, he's fun. He's a lot of fun. We need to take a break. I got some fun stuff for you coming up. We're going to talk NBA draft coming up after one. I'm Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score. I'm so happy Matt Forte could be on the show. And I just, if you want to go ride with him, I put his event on my Twitter account at Lawrence W. Holmes. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MattForte22. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as number 17 Northwestern hosts Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. Last night I was at the game. Panther and I stayed until after the 6. And then we were like, we're just getting rained on too much. Let's go home. And I'm glad that we left when we did, because it allowed me to have the joy of Pat Hughes telling a story on my drive home. Now, for those of you who don't remember, in 1998, the Cubs were trying to win, and they were playing in game 159 in Milwaukee, and they had a good season that season, and it looked like they were going to get a very important win until Brant Brown dropped a pop-up. If you didn't remember, here's what it sounded like with Pat and Ron.
7-5 Cubs, bottom of the ninth. Two down, the Brewers have the bases loaded, and a 2-2 count on the hitter. Here's the pitch. Swung on, fly ball, left field. Brant Brown going back. Brant Brown drops the ball!
No!
He drops the ball! Three runs will score, and the Brewers have beaten the Cubs.
So that was Ron Santo on the call. It is a legendary call. We played this call over and over again at the score since it happened in 1998. Well, you want to hear the oral history of that call? Guess what? Pat Hughes gave it to you last night.
He's telling a Steve Stone story the other day about the Brant Brown play from 1998, where Brant dropped the fly ball and Milwaukee scored three runs on the play. But I was, of course, working with the late Ron Santo, and his broadcast call bellowing out, "Oh, no!" And, I mean, it was the kind of a sound that you would equate to somebody losing their life. Here's the 1-2 pitch on the way to Baez, fouled away. It's not funny, really, but, I mean, he was so upset. And the play is over, and I look over at Ron. His forehead is on the table. And I'm not kidding.
So that's what made that noise?
It was his noggin, and he had a rather large noggin, too. One ball and two strikes on Baez.
It comes with the chair here.
But I thought he had expired. I had to kind of jab. I jabbed him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I said, "Ron, are you okay?" Here's a ground ball to short. Anderson will throw out Baez at first. That's out number one. And he was okay, sort of. But within seconds of that play, Steve Stone, who was doing television,
yeah,
comes flying into our booth and says, "The Cubs will have to trade Brant Brown. He can't play for this team. Not after that play. His career is done here." Very dramatic.
Yeah.
But he was actually right.
Yeah, he was right, yeah.
Because the Cubs did trade him and before the next season began.
But you remember the play vividly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't think I'll ever forget it. And there's an ending to the story then. Ron Santo goes down into Jim Riggleman's office,
the manager.
And it is, you could hear a pin drop in the Cubs clubhouse. It was so quiet. And I had just finished the post-game show on radio, so I went down to the clubhouse, and Ronnie is nursing his second or third beverage by then. Mm-hmm. Here's the 0-1 to Contreras, swing and a miss, and Ron is still despondent. I mean, just completely upset over losing that game. And he's saying in Jim Ruggleman's office, he says, "How could he drop the ball in that situation?" And that's pretty much exactly how he said it. And then I saw what maybe has never happened in the history of American sports. I saw Jim Riggleman walk over, put his arm around Ron Santo and say, "Ronnie, hang in there. It's okay. We're going down to Houston. We can beat the Astros. We can still make a playoff spot."
The manager.
And I had to look away because here was a manager trying to cheer up a broadcaster. I don't think that's ever happened before or since.
Or ever again.
Amazing.
It was so great, like, listening to that last night on the drive home. I'm in tears, like, laughing at that story from Pat. And then later on in the inning, he went on to say, because he went back to it, and he was like, could you imagine Mike Ditka trying to console Wayne Larrivee back in the day? Like, could you imagine? And it was just, it's part of the reason that I love Pat. The great thing about it, too, is you never lose sight of what's going on in the game. Pat's telling you exactly what's still happening in the game while he is telling you this legendary story about Ron Santo. Hat tip yet again to Pat Hughes, who is just one of my absolute favorites. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Bulls and the NBA draft. We're going to break it down for you over the next half hour. So if you're a Buckethead, you want to hang out with us, we'll do that next on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.